All right, so we are returning to a verse that we had looked at before, but we're looking at another part of that verse today. It is 2 Timothy 1:7. So I'll give you a moment to turn there. 2 Timothy 1:7. When we looked at that verse before, we looked at the part that talked about self-discipline, if you remember correctly. And that verse says, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity or fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline or self-control. So I want to start up there in verse 5, those of you that like to follow along. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh. Okay, stir up. Put new flame in. The gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. So today we're talking about power, why we need power, what it looks like to receive power, how and when we receive power. So does receiving power and that phrase bring anything to mind? Well, it should bring to mind Acts 1:8. Remember Jesus told his disciples, wait, and the promise of the Father will come, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Did that happen? It did happen. And you shall be my witnesses. Did they do that? Oh, let's try that question again. Okay, day of Pentecost. Did the Holy Spirit come upon them?
Yes.
And did they witness?
Yes.
All right. So, who gave them that power? What came upon them? Let's take a look. Let's take a look together. Acts 2. We're reminding ourselves of some things today. It might not be so much new information, but sometimes it's good to be reminded and revisit things that we may not have looked at for a while. Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and the tongues of fire rested on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Okay, so let's remind ourselves. What happened when the Holy Spirit came? Fire. Filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke with tongues, and what was the result? Remember, Jesus promised them that you would receive power to be my witnesses. And you all agreed with me that that actually happened. Okay? So Peter was empowered to speak to a large crowd of thousands of people. He was a witness. Let's go down a few verses and see that. Verse 14, same chapter. So this is after the Holy Spirit came, after the tongues of fire rested on them, after they received power, and Jesus said, you would be my witnesses. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice. This wasn't church. This wasn't synagogue. This was out in the community, where thousands had come from all over the nation to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. And he declared to the crowd, Okay, how many of you want to go downtown Harrisburg, stand on the square, and start declaring?
Kurt does.
Yeah, Kurt does. Where's Kurt? And he raised his voice and declared, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses. Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let it be known to you and give heed to my word." That was bold. In other words, he was saying, "Hey, all of you, listen up. I have something to tell you. For these men are not drunk as you suppose." Okay, why did it look like they were drunk? Because the Holy Spirit came upon them, they were speaking in tongues, and they thought, well, you know, they must have had a wild breakfast. Because it was only 9 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. And this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. So this was already prophesied in the scripture. "It will be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my spirit on all mankind. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams." See, even us old men, we're still in there. Right, Frank?
Amen.
Amen. And verse 21, "And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So he gives them this message, and how do they respond? They're like, "We don't care what you have to say. We don't want to listen to what you have to say." No, it says, those who believed, okay, there was some who heard, but there was others who believed. "Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 in all." Come on. That was church growth. Okay? It went from 120 to 3,000 in one day. Wouldn't that be something, Mike? Okay? We have 40 or 50 one week, and the next week we have 500. Come on. Come on. So, what was the difference? What caused this to happen? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power to be my witnesses. So then I always like to stop and ask myself questions. Okay, was that only a one-time occurrence? Is that ever going to happen again? Well, if it's going to happen again, am I expecting it to happen? Am I taking the opportunity to be part of that happening? That's a good question for all of us, isn't it? Are we praying and asking God for that to happen? So I'm not going to make anybody raise their hands, but if we're not praying and asking for that to happen, why aren't we praying and asking for that to happen? Some good questions today, huh? What else happened as a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit? What else happened? Well, one of them was, it said that the Holy Spirit came upon them, empowered them, and gave them the ability, the gift, to speak in other tongues. Is that the only thing that happened? Do you remember that Jesus said his followers would do the same things that he did? His followers would do the same things that he did. So what happened next? Okay, as he was empowered, he became a witness. He stood up. 3,000 were saved. So I don't know if you remember what happened in Acts 3. So I'm going to tell you. So now Peter and John are on their way to temple, on their way to synagogue. And they pass this man who's sitting in the city gate. He's lame. Okay? Lame means what? You can't walk. So he didn't get there on his own. So somebody helped him get there. He throws his blanket down. He sits there and he begs every day. So every day he's sitting here begging. And what do most people do? Okay. They don't want to look at him. They don't want to acknowledge him. They certainly don't want to be expected to give something. You know, so they're going to avoid him, right? So today, Peter and John are going along, and they stop. Not just glance at him, not just notice that he's there, which a lot of people didn't, but they stop. So can you imagine what he thought? Yay, I'm going to get something. I'm going to get some money so that I can eat today. And maybe I can make my life a little better. And he looks up at them, and does he get gold, silver? Okay. Peter and John said, we don't have silver and gold, so we can't give you what we don't have, but we will give you what we do have. So what did they have? What did they have? They said, yes, exactly. They had the Holy Spirit that had just come upon them. So Peter reaches down, grabs his hand, and it said, while he was being lifted up. While he was being lifted up. So he wasn't healed, and then he decided to stand up. While he was being lifted up, Peter said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. He was healed. No longer lame. So it said he leapt, and he walked, and entered the temple. And when he got inside the temple, he was walking, leaping, and praising God. Okay, now think about this. You live in that community. This guy has been lame, it says, for 40 years. 40 years. So, you know, I don't know how young he started going there to beg. Probably as a kid. So he's been there all this time. You're inside temple, and you see the guy walking in the back door, and he's jumping up and down, praise God, praise God. You're thinking, oh my goodness, what's going on? Who does that in church, right? And then you look, and you're like, that's John Smith. It can't be John Smith. John Smith is lame. He sits every day at the temple and begs. That can't be him. And then you realize it's him. Come on, 40 years. How excited would you be? It says, everybody noticed and everybody heard about it. Because even if you weren't at church this morning, that's news. So when God does the miraculous, you spread that good news. So then, you know, you're doing the will of God. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You pray for this guy. This guy gets healed, and everybody's happy. No. Yeah, no. Peter and John end up in jail. Oh, yay, I'm serving Jesus, and now I'm in jail. So everybody is not always excited to hear the gospel or see the kingdom of God. They were put in jail. Okay, we're now in chapter 4, Acts 4. So the next day they bring them before the religious court, and they start to examine them. When they placed them in the center, they began to inquire, okay, you listening? By what power or in what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Come on. When my Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power to be my witnesses. Said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today because of the benefit done to a sick man, as to how this man was made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus, Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands before you in good health. He, Jesus, is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, and which became the chief cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Now, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John, now come on, and understood that they were uneducated and untrained, Okay, what were they? Fishermen. They were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. Do people recognize us as having been with Jesus, as being Jesus' followers? And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they had nothing else they could say. It quieted the critics, didn't it? So what made the difference in this situation? The Holy Spirit coming upon them and giving them the power to speak and the power to heal. So then, do we have any other examples in Acts of the Holy Spirit coming upon people? Yeah, we do. We have two more we're going to look at. Because we're talking today about what happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we're filled, and we receive power to become witnesses. The next one is Acts 8. I'll give you a minute to turn there. What happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon us and gives us power? So in this story, Philip, the deacon, went down to Samaria. Okay, now remember Samaria. We've talked about Samaria before. And he goes down there and he tells them about Jesus. So let's start there in verse 12. When they believed Philip, okay, he told them the good news about Jesus. Says they believed it. Believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus, they were baptized, men and women alike. Okay, baptized in water. Even Simon himself believed, so we're not going to take time to talk about Simon today. And after being baptized, he continued on with Philip as he observed signs and great miracles taking place. What happened when Philip was filled with the Holy Spirit and went to Samaria? Signs and wonders. Signs and great miracles, it said. Now when the apostles back in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for he had not yet fallen upon any of them. Now we become Christians, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us. So we're not talking about whether or not the Spirit is within them. Because we already know they believed. We already know they were baptized. So now the apostles come down, and what do? They lay hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Now Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on the hand of the apostles' hands, and he offered them money. So something visibly happened, because Simon said, oh, is that what it looks like when someone's filled with the Holy Spirit? Can I buy that? Well, that's another whole story that we're not going to talk to. Let's just say he got himself in a lot of trouble. Lots of trouble. Okay? We're going to look at one more. One more time when the Holy Spirit fell upon the believers. A very interesting story. Very interesting for a lot of reasons. First of all, it says there was a Roman centurion. Now think about that with me. Your nation was conquered by an enemy. It was Rome. So not only was this man a Roman, he was a Roman centurion. That means he was over 100 troops. So he was an army commander of the army that came and conquered your nation and is now subduing and controlling your nation. Why would he be in the Bible at all? Why would he be in Acts at all? It said that he was a believer in God and God heard his prayers. Come on! Do we expect God to hear our enemies' prayers? Probably not. Because we don't want God to hear our enemies' prayers most of the time. Oh, Pastor Steve, come on, I'm just trying to be honest here. Just trying to be honest. You know, we have people that we're like, God, I'm pretty sure you're not listening to them praying. Well, an angel shows up. An angel shows up. Now, I've been a pastor for 30 years. He never sent an angel to me. Any of you have an angel visit? Okay, I want to hear that story sometime. So, most of us have not had an angel visit, but an angel visited. Oh, that's good. Empty box of Kleenex. Here's one. An angel visited a Roman centurion. Come on, I'm a little jealous. An angel visited a Roman centurion and said, God heard your prayers. Wow. And he gave him instruction. I want you to send men to a town named Joppa and call on Simon Peter. There's a whole bunch that's really interesting about that message. So now we have Peter, and it's lunchtime, and he's up on his roof. Now you're like, why would anybody be on a roof? Well, you had to be in a third world country. I've been there on various mission trips. Roofs are flat. Our friends, the Clarks in Haiti, their Bible school is on their roof. It's up on the third floor, and they have a wood, like a pavilion built up on their roof. And that's where some of their classes are held. And so, flat roof, Peter's up there and he's praying. And it says he has a vision. And a sheet falls down in front of him. You know, like somebody lowered a bed sheet. And he's looking, and there are all kinds of things in there that, according to the law, he's not allowed to eat. And he hears a voice say, take and eat. No. I've been taught you don't eat any of those things. They're unholy. They're unclean. Sheet goes up. He's like, wow, that was really weird. I mean, I'm just saying, wouldn't that be what you would think? You know, you're up there praying. The sheet comes down again. The same things are on the sheet. What is going on? That pepperoni I had last night must have been bad. You know, I'm having hallucinations. Take and eat. No, God, no. Okay, goes away. Phew, I'm glad that's done. Comes down a third time. There's the sheet again. Nope, God, I'm a good Jewish boy. I know I don't eat pork. Not eating bacon. It might smell good, but okay. And then there goes the sheet again. And God says to him, now remember it happened three times. God said to him, what I have cleansed no longer consider unholy. Okay, I've been taught all my life not to do this and not to do that. One of the things they were taught is you don't associate with Gentiles. Who is any more non-Jewish than a Roman centurion? I mean, that would be the top of the list. Okay, do not associate with Samaritans, do not associate with, but right there at the top, Roman centurions. He hears a knock at the door. He looks down, three men. Remember the sheet, three times? Three men are standing there. He can tell by their dress. They're not Jewish. And as he's leaving the roof to go down, the Holy Spirit says, go with them without any misgiving, no hesitation, I have sent them here. Now, come on. The law says do not go into the Gentiles' houses and definitely don't invite them into yours because they're unholy and they'll contaminate everything in your house. Peter opens the door, says, hey, do you want to come in and stay overnight? Then the next day, he calls a couple men from the church. Okay, hey, Frank and Mike and Ed, you want to come along with me to the Gentiles' house? They said yes. So they go to Cornelius' house. Cornelius is so excited to hear what message God is sending Peter with that he invites his entire extended family. The house is packed. And all his friends and neighbors. So he invites all these people to his house. to hear what a Jewish follower of Jesus has to say. Come on. Come on. And Peter shows up and he says, we want to hear what God has to say to us. This was a big deal. Jewish guy in a Gentile's house to hear the good news. So we are now in Acts 10, verse 28. So this is Peter, and he says, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a man who is a Jew to associate with a foreigner or to visit him. Okay, he admits it right up front. Unlawful, according to Jewish law. And yet God has shown me that I should not call any man unholy or unclean. Maybe we could learn something from that. That is why I came without even raising any objections when you sent for me. Cornelius said, 4 days ago to this hour I was praying at 9 a.m., and behold, a man stood before me in shining garments, and he said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms, your giving, has been remembered before God. Therefore, send to Joppa, invite Simon, who is also called Peter, to come to you. He is staying at the house of Simon the Tanner by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and you have been so kind to come. So kind to come. Now then, we are all here present before God to hear all that the Lord commanded you to speak to us. And Peter opened his mouth, saying, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality. Think maybe we could learn from that. Not show partiality. Don't we have our list? This side is people we expect to hear from God. People on the other side of the list, we don't expect to hear from God. These people are our enemies. These people aren't our enemies. These people were for. These people were against. Just saying. I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. That is good news. Jesus was a Jew, but he didn't come just for the Jewish nation, did he? Every nation, the man who reverences God and does what is right is welcome to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus, you yourselves know the things that took place in Judea, in Galilee, and the baptism of John. You know of Jesus, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. Isn't that what we're talking about today? Holy Spirit and power. And Jesus said to his followers, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power to be my witnesses. And what is Peter doing? He's witnessing to a group of Gentile people, and they're all family, friends, neighbors. And before that, it was unlawful for him to do that. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So instead of reading the rest to you, we'll summarize. They believed what he said, but how do we know that they believed what he said? Verse 44. While Peter was still speaking, they interrupted the minister. Come on. God did. Can you believe that, Pastor Kurt? What nerve God has. Right in the middle of his sermon, right in the middle, the Holy Spirit fell upon all of them. Now, does the Holy Spirit fall upon unbelievers? No. So that means they heard about Jesus. They made the heart decision that that was right and that they wanted to follow Jesus. Well, wait a minute, Pastor Steve, they didn't respond to an altar call. No, they didn't. People can get saved without an altar call. I guess. Okay. Just wanted to make sure I was understanding that. So Peter, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. And all the circumcised believers, all the Jewish believers that came with him, were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit, the same thing that fell on them the day of Pentecost, had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, and they hadn't even been baptized in water yet, and they hadn't joined the church. Come on! God doesn't do it in the order that we think he should do it in. Okay? God, we want him to come into church, we want him to hear the word, we want him to come to the altar, we want him to go through the next steps class, we want him to join the church, then we have water baptism, then you can baptize him in the Holy Spirit. He didn't follow that list at all. Completely out of order. And then Peter said, surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who had received the Spirit just as we did. And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Come on now. Romans, a different culture, not Jewish, didn't go to the temple. So we need to pause and ask ourselves some questions. You ready? Oh, right. Well, I don't know if you're ready. Because I don't know if I'm ready. What group of people would we be amazed for Jesus to show up to and baptize them with the Holy Spirit? See, we have a mental list of those people too. And I could name some of them. But I think you can probably think of some in your own mind where you have said, okay, there's just no hope for them. No hope for that culture, no hope for that religion, no hope for that political party, whatever you want to put in there. Wow. Do you know that you and I have the same power? Okay, remember Peter said, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just like it did us. We have that same power available to us. We have that same promise of being filled with the Holy Spirit that Jesus said to them, when the Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power to be my witnesses. Now maybe you've been a Christian for years and years. Okay? That happened for me when I was a junior in high school. And probably a year after that, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. But it's not a one-time thing. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not a one-time thing. This happened to the same group of people over and over again. When Peter was in prison, remember, for praying for the lame man that we talked about earlier? When he came out of prison, he went back to the believers, and it said, while they were praying, the room was filled with the Holy Spirit. So that happened again and again and again. It's not a one-time thing. So Pastor Kurt set me up so well last week, because if you were here, he was talking about revival and renewal. And he was talking about when, a number of years ago, there was a renewal that went through the church. And before that, there was the charismatic revival renewal that affected not just independent churches, but Catholic churches, Episcopal churches, okay, some very strict denominational churches, and then we had this renewal time. And so everybody else got to tell their story, but I didn't. So I'm going to share mine, and mine sort of interweaves some of the others. So Pastor Kurt had mentioned about Dick Warner, who was the pastor back then, going up to Elam Fellowship. We're an Elam Fellowship affiliated church. We're also affiliated with Global Awakening and Bethel out in Reading. So we're affiliated with three different groups of people. But we were up at our annual conference. So I say we because I was along. So Dick and Cindy and I were up at this conference. And they had had a certain agenda scheduled. And the president of Elam Fellowship decided to change it based on what was happening in some Elam churches. And it was happening because a man named Ray Sell, who was an associate of Rodney Howard Brown, which Pastor Kurt had mentioned, was from South Africa and brought some renewal over here. He was going around and visiting churches. One of them was Community Gospel with Paul Butler, that you, many of you know, right down in Maryland. But also, a lot of the Elam churches in New York, he was going to their churches, and the presence of God was falling. And so he was asked to come and share that with all of the leaders, the pastors of Elam Fellowship. So we were up there. I'm sorry. And he said that he wanted to start by praying for the elders. Now, you have to realize this was how many years ago? 20-some? 25, probably? Yeah. 25 years ago. And at that point, it doesn't look like that now, but at that point, the elders set up on stage through the entire three-day conference in suits, okay, ties, suits, in an elevated platform and looked out over the audience. Very dignified. A lot of them were in their 70s and 80s. One of them was Carlton Spencer, the son of the founder of the Bible school. And so all these dignified men were up there, and he said, I'm going to start by praying for them first. So he started praying for these men, and some of them were up walking around and praying, and a couple of them fell down under the power of the Holy Spirit. One guy from Buffalo, New York, who he had been to his church already, started laughing and laughing and laughing. We're like, okay, this is really different. Yeah. These very distinguished guys. I mean, we had David Edwards. He was a Welshman. And if you talk about dignified, I mean, you know, he stood dignified, talked dignified. His vocabulary was unbelievable. And he was very learned. I don't know how many degrees he had. And he was one of these guys falling out under the Holy Spirit. So we're all sitting in the congregation of 400 or 500 pastors and elders, and we're like, okay, we're not sure what's going on here. And so then one of the leaders got up and said, so what we're going to do now, we're going to move all the chairs out of the way, because often what happens when the Holy Spirit comes is that people fall down under the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't know if that's going to happen or not, but we don't want you falling over your chairs. So we took time, they moved all the chairs out of the way. And so now there's 400 of us in the back of the room, all the elders with Ray Sell, the speaker, were up front, and they said, you come up in lines and we'll pray for you and whatever God wants to do. So you talk about a melee of experiences up here. They prayed for people and like the whole row would go down. Or they pray for people and they'd start to cry. They pray for people and they'd just drop down on their knees. And some people would be laughing. And so that continued through this whole crowd. But a number of us, and so I'm including me and the us, stood in the back and said, I have to figure this out a little more. So I didn't go up for prayer. Dick did go up for prayer, and he did go down. So now we're back from the conference. And that next week, we have a men's breakfast. And we're at the men's breakfast. And so Dick is sharing this, and he said, they told us that this experience is something to take back and transfer. In other words, what they've seen is you receive this prayer, this presence of the Holy Spirit, and then when you pray for other people, you're passing this on. We're like, okay, well, that's a little bit different. But so he said, I'll pray for whoever wants prayer. So I thought, okay, I'm back here at my church. This is my pastor. So I'll get prayer. Okay, it's not like being up in front of 400 people and these distinguished elders of Elam. Even though I had already saw them fall down and cry and laugh and pray. So Dick prays for everybody, and a bunch of our guys, They're laughing, they're crying, they're falling under the power of the Holy Spirit. Nothing happens for me. I did go up for prayer. Nothing happens. I'm like, okay, we'll just wait and see. So then that Sunday morning, I remember I'm driving down Centerville Road, and God and I are having these conversations. Pastor Kurt knows, God and I have some conversations, don't we? And I'm like, I don't know what the problem is. I don't know why everybody else got touched. I'm the associate pastor. I should have gotten touched. So he was like, so what did you expect to happen? Well, so listen, I don't want to laugh. I don't want to cry. And if I'm going to fall down, I want to make sure I'm caught. He's like, ha-ha, now you know the answer to your question, why nothing happened. Because you wouldn't let me do anything. I'm like, I don't like that answer. Can we try another answer? So now I'm at the stop sign up here, which is now a red light and sheets, but that wasn't like that then. And I went, oh, all right. I won't put conditions on you touching me. Whatever happens, happens. Okay, some of you remember where I'm going with this. So nobody else prayed for me. We're at the beginning of the Sunday service. Okay, Sunday service. And Pastor Dick is saying, yeah, expect some things to happen today because Pastor Steve and I and Cindy were at Elam and some amazing things happened and we're believing the Holy Spirit's going to move this morning. Okay. So he said, okay, now the serious member of the pastoral staff is going to come up and he's going to give announcements. I'm like, well, yeah, that's what I do every Sunday. So I get up and I bring my paperwork to the front and I open it up and I'm feeling something happening inside. It's like when somebody says or does something funny and you're getting ready to laugh, but nobody said or did anything funny. And so I said, good morning. Today, I'm like, what was funny about today? There wasn't anything funny about today. Today, the man, and I'm like, what is going on? And then, because I'm trying to control this, I'm breaking out in sweat, and my heart is pounding, and I'm like, this is going to happen. I can just tell. And I tried three times to read the announcement. Finally, I looked at Dick, I said, I can't do this. So I walked over and stood in that doorway, and I laughed, and I laughed. And I'm like, I'm disturbing the whole service. What is going on? So I go out in the hall, and I am hollering and laughing, and I am not a holler and a laughter guy, and I am not a cry guy. And I laughed so hard. Did you ever laugh so hard that you get weak? I laughed so hard that I slid down the wall and I'm sitting on the floor out there. Well, by then, the Holy Spirit had started to move in here and somebody came out and said, are you okay? And I said, yeah! And it took a good while till that wave of the Holy Spirit had moved over me and I could come back in the service. And I came back and sat down. We started worship and I had to get up and leave again. So that is one of the few times that it hit me that way, but what then happened on a regular basis was, and still does, not quite to the same extent, but whenever I sense the presence of God, I start to cry. And back then, it wasn't just, I remember one week, I was sitting like here, oh, come on. Yeah. So, I can't look that way. So, Pastor Kurt's mom and dad were in front of me. That's why I'm choking up. And I was crying so hard. I had like six Kleenexes, and my nose was running, and I was blowing, and I was sitting back there just crying and crying, and his mom, Jane, turned around, and she said, Pastor Steve, are you okay? And I said, yes, it's just the presence of God. And so, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we don't always respond the way we would when the Holy Spirit is not moving upon us. And we're asking God to come again in such a way that we're different. Getting out things that I had stored up inside of me for years and years and years completely changed my personality. Reba would always say, those of you that remember Reba, "You were quite a stick in the mud when I first came here." And I'm like, "Yeah, okay, I guess I was." And so the Holy Spirit doesn't come upon us just so we laugh or we cry. He comes upon us because he wants us to become more like Jesus. What did they say to Peter about Peter and John? They said to each other, "Aren't these men just fishermen? Where did the boldness come from? Where did the words that they're using come from?" Oh, they've been with Jesus. See, that's what we want to have happen when we're out at work, when we're in school, when we're at the grocery store, wherever we are, and we encounter people, we want them to realize that it's not just us they're encountering, but they're encountering Jesus in us. Okay? Amen. So we are going to take communion, and what I want us to expect today, and we're going to end with praying. Those of us who want refilled with the Holy Spirit, we're going to end our service with praying that, but it can start through communion. Okay, because what is communion? Remembering what Jesus did, his death and resurrection, what that bought for us, and reconnecting with him in a deeper way. Amen?